That night, Pitt called Sandecker from his hotel room. "I have a bit of news for you," Sandecker said. "The FBI think they have identified the man behind the fire on the Emerald Dolphin, from descriptions given by the surviving passengers."
"Who is he?"
"A real sour apple, this one. His name is Omo Kanai. He built a 5-page rap sheet by the time he was 18 and enlisted in the army to escape an assault charge. Worked himself up through the ranks before becoming an officer and transferring into a secret military organization called CEASE, Covert Elite Action for Select Elimination."
"I've never heard of it," said Pitt.
"It was originally formed to combat terrorism by assassinating terrorist leaders before their actions could threaten American citizens. But a decade ago, the president curtailed their projects and ordered them disbanded, which was not a good idea, as it turns out. Highly trained in political and covert murder, Omo Kanai resigned along with 12 of his men and formed a commercial assassination company."
"A murder incorporated," said Pitt.
"Along the same lines. And it's becoming more evident that not only was Kanai behind the fire on board the Emerald Dolphin and the explosions while the ship was under tow, but it was he impersonating a ship's officer who sabotaged the fire control systems. I'm warning you and Al to be alert every second you're on the Golden Marlin."
"Any idea what this Omo Kanai looks like?"
"You should know. You met him."
"I met him? Where?"
"I've just received word from New York police investigators. Omo Kanai was the pilot of the old plane that tried to shoot you down."
The Golden Marlin looked like no other cruise liner ever built. There were no promenade decks, no stateroom balconies, no smoke or exhaust funnels. Her rounded superstructure was covered with rows of large circular viewing ports. The only prominent features were a round, dome-like structure above her bow that housed the bridge and control room, while on the stern, a high fin enclosed an opulent lounge and casino that revolved around stationary viewing ports. At 400 feet in length and 40 feet wide, she was in the same class as most of the smaller luxury cruise liners that sail the seas, but the Golden Marlin was about to change the history of cruising. With her self-sustaining engines designed by Dr. Egan, she could travel throughout the Caribbean seas in depths up to 1,000 feet for 2 weeks before coming into port for food and supplies.
"She's beautiful," exclaimed Kelly, as she stood on the dock in the early morning, staring up at the unique vessel.
"The gold is a bit much," muttered Giardino, adjusting his sunglasses from the glare that glinted off the superstructure from the rising sun. Pitt walked along the dock to a ladder leading to the water. A man and a woman wearing wetsuits were checking their dive gear before stepping down the ladder and entering the water.
"Are you the team who is going to inspect the bottom of the hull?"
A slim, handsome man looked at him and smiled.
"Yes, that's right, Frank Martin. This is my wife, Caroline."
"Can you tell us exactly what it is we're looking for?" asked Caroline.
"No sense in dodging the issue," replied Pitt. "You'll be looking for any sort of an object that's attached to the hull, specifically an explosive device."
Martin looked unfazed. "And if we find one?"
"If you find one, you find others. Don't touch them. We'll arrange for an underwater demolition team to remove them."
By the time Pitt reached the gangway, the Martins were in the water and diving under the Golden Marlin's hull. The boat's first officer led Kelly through a luxurious solarium and up a glass elevator etched with tropical fish to a comfortable stateroom on the manta deck. Then he showed Pitt and Giardino to a small cabin in the crew's quarters. As soon as they were settled, they went to meet with the vessel's captain. Captain Morris Baldwin was a man who ran a tight ship and did not intend to have outsiders come on board and disrupt his set routine. He drummed his fingers on the table in the officer's dining room and looked in irritation at Pitt, Giardino, and the 4-man inspection team sent by the shipbuilders.
"Do what you think you have to do. But I warn you not to interfere with the operation of this boat, or I swear I will put you ashore in the next port, regardless of whatever reprimand I receive from management." Rand O'Malley, a man every bit as gruff as Baldwin, smiled sardonically. "As head of the inspection team, I can assure you, Captain, we will not get in your way, but I expect you to cooperate if we should find a problem with any of the safety systems." As soon as the room cleared, except for Pitt, Giardino, and O'Malley, Giardino leaned back in his chair and irreverently crossed his feet on the conference table. "Exacting old bird, isn't he?"
"Made out of dung and concrete, that one," observed O'Malley.
Pitt took an instant liking to the man. "I hope you take us more seriously than Captain Baldwin." O'Malley grinned with every tooth.
"If you're right, and I'm not saying you ain't, I'm not about to die on this extravagant folly to man's greed."
"I take it you're not fond of her," said Pitt.
"She's overbuilt," snorted O'Malley. "More expense and planning went into the palatial decor than in the true guts of the engineering systems. Successful sea trials or not, I wouldn't be surprised if she goes down and doesn't come up. Somehow I hate to hear those words from an expert on ship construction," muttered Giardino.
"There must be an underwater system for evacuation," Pitt said.
"There is," answered O'Malley, "and a good one. Instead of lifeboats, the passengers enter their assigned pods. They can hold 50 people. Then the entry door is closed and sealed. At the same time the outer doors open, a stream of air is sent into the ejection system, and the pods shoot free of the ship and float to the surface."
"If you wanted to make the evacuation system inoperable, how would you go about it?" Pitt asked. O'Malley scratched his head.
"Causing a failure in the air ejection system would be the way I'd go."
"I'd be grateful if you and your team would check out any tampering with the system very carefully," said Pitt.